You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast, episode 29. Hi, it's Jo here. And just before we get on to the main part of the show, I've got exciting news. Over the last year, I've been researching, training and applying the neuroscience to help people like you harness your mojo and find your edge to achieve incredible results in your personal and professional lives. And so I've decided to give away even more free resources to help you through my weekly e-newsletter. To subscribe, just email jo@pacedevelopment.co.uk. That's jo@pacedevelopment.co.uk. And now on to the main part of the show. You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. Welcome back to another episode. I'm joined today by the legend that is Janet Murray, a content marketing expert, podcaster, and keynote speaker around the world who has built a six-figure business using the strategy she teaches others to help them build online audiences. But we're not talking content marketing particularly on the show today. I wanted to talk to Janet because, quite frankly, she is a massive inspiration. What she probably wasn't aware of was that it was Janet who helped me take one of my first steps to innovate my business when the pandemic hit, because I listened to her original brilliant podcast, and it was an episode about how to grow your Instagram account that I think she did with Chris Taylor at the time, that really helped me get onto Instagram and start innovating my business. And it was also an email that she sent out to her list, which really helped me reframe things and take action, because I'd been struggling as a business owner at that time. I'd lost pretty much all of my business overnight. And I also felt that it would be inappropriate at the start of the pandemic to sell. But Janet's email came at just the right time and helped me see this really differently. And she was talking about not being embarrassed about this. But people out there who know Janet might think that her success has come easily, but it's not all been plain sailing. And I know for a fact that she works incredibly hard, and along the way, there've been challenges. So I am so honored and excited to have Janet on the show. We're going to be talking about how she juggles everything as a busy business owner, a mum and a wife. And we're also going to be exploring how to be more courageous and confident and get some insights into her recent ADHD diagnosis. So Janet, thank you so much for coming on the show and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So now, Janet, you run a super successful online business and membership community. I wonder if you could just share with us how it all started.
Well, like many good business stories, it all started by accident. So I started off as a school teacher and I didn't hate it or anything, but I was working really hard evenings and weekends, and I'd always like secretly wanted to be a journalist, but I think someone told me that it was too hard unless you had the right connections and had been to Oxbridge or something. And so I decided when I was in my mid-20s to go off and retrain. So I retrained as a journalist, and I remember being told that there was no way that you could write for the Nationals again unless you had these connections or this background. So I made that my mission, and I was writing with the Nationals quite early on, and I decided to be freelance because I had this idea that I thought I could earn more money that way, and I didn't want to have to commute or work on anybody else's time. So that kind of suited me, and I freelanced for newspapers and magazines for, in the end, it was like the best part of 20 years, and it was really fun. I ended up writing mainly for The Guardian about education and politics. I really loved it. I got to edit. I used to look after the education pages at The Guardian when the regular editor was on holiday, and that was fun. But as with many things online, as with many things in life, I should say, I got to the stage where I felt a bit bored and I wanted a new challenge. Didn't quite know what it was, and I was always a bit frustrated about not earning as much money. People have this idea that journalists are really well paid, and they really are not, unless they've got the top BBC or top Channel 4 jobs or whatever. So I was being paid by the word, and I was doing okay because I'm a hard worker. But people started approaching me and asking me to do consultancy work. So they'd say, could you come in and train our team how to pitch to the newspapers, or could you do some training with us on writing press releases? And this work was so well paid in comparison to what I was earning as a journalist, and was so easy in comparison because I also had this teaching experience, that I was like, oh, how could I get more of this work without actually having to pitch for it, or you know, how can I find more of these people who want me to do this for them? Because they were generally my connections through my journalism. So I just kind of started this blog. I thought, oh, well, maybe if I started a blog and I shared tips on getting press coverage and tips on writing press releases, stuff like that, people will find me. And then I realized it wasn't enough to have a blog. You need to know how to get people to find your blog. So I started learning about things like SEO and headlines. And then I started learning about things like email marketing, because of course, then once you get people to your website, you then ideally want to get them onto your email list so that you can keep in touch with them. And I just accidentally started learning about online marketing and kind of fell into it. And then I kind of thought, well, this would be quite a nice way to make a living. I'm a bit bored with what I'm doing. So I gradually dropped the journalism and created this online business, which at the time was selling courses and memberships, helping people to get press coverage. But then I came to the stage where I felt almost like a bit disingenuous, because I could see the impact me creating my own content was having on my business. And I'd launched my own podcast by this stage, and I had this blog, and I had a Facebook group and social media, and I could see how actually that was more impactful for me than any press coverage that I could get. So people would come to me and say, oh, can you help me get in The Guardian, or can you help me get into Cosmo or whatever it was? And I'd be like, yeah, but actually you could probably generate more income if you created your own content. So I gradually sort of pivoted and started to, I guess, like PR is a form of content that you get to promote your business, but I started to teach it in a broader sense. And everything's just happened by accident, really. And I've pivoted several times since then. And now I specialize in like content marketing. I help people, particularly to create engaging content so that they can build an audience. So typically the kind of people I'd be working with are people who have a small business. They're struggling to grow their audience, and as a result, they're struggling to make enough sales, particularly online. So they're looking to learn how to create really engaging content so they can grow the followers, the subscribers. I've got a membership site, a membership community, I should say. I've sold loads of courses, different courses. I have a diary, a content planner. That's a whole other story about how that came about, I should say, by accident, of course. And then I also run events. I'm a speaker. I think I've covered it all pretty much there, I think.
Yeah, you are just super busy. And I know you've mentioned, oh, I've discovered these things by accident, but you also seem incredibly determined and courageous and hardworking. And I just wanted to ask you, you must be so busy because you're a mum and you're a wife and a business owner and a leader of your business, and also a public figure. How do you actually do it all, and can you have it all? I wonder if you could tell us a bit more about how do you keep productive and motivated? How do you prioritize?
I never really have any problem staying motivated, because I'm usually excited about what I'm doing. And if I don't like it, I tend to change it and do something else instead. I struggle with prioritization because, as I've discovered in the last year or so, I've got ADHD. I've always struggled with knowing what to do in what order, and also always overcommitted myself. Like if you were to ask my parents what I was like when I was a teenager, I always was stressed out because I had too much to do, and I said yes, and I don't have a very good concept of how long things take me. So I do work really hard, and I feel like I could manage my time better, and I'm always trying to get better at that. But I'm also very enthusiastic about what I do, so it doesn't feel like a massive hardship. And I guess the trade-off working for yourself, like my daughter's 15, and I'm sure she would say, I think she's listening, that she'd love to spend more time with me. But I guess the trade-off is I've never had to get on a commuter train. I live it quite near London, and going to London and spend how many hours a day commuting. I've never had to not been able to come home if she was sick or she needed me. I've typically been able to go to sports days and do all of that kind of stuff. So I guess the flexibility has meant that I've been around, and being home-based I think makes it a little bit easier, but it's never easier, and I would never try and pretend that I had it all sorted. I do regularly get quite overwhelmed, and not burn out, but I'd say every few months things come to a head and I have to kind of realign and go, right, okay, what's going on? Like, let's see what's causing all of this and start again. And I think this ADHD does make it harder for me, because I just think I'm like superwoman. I think I can do everything. and I am productive. I get a lot done, but I wouldn't want to pretend that I have this amazing, I always have it worked out perfectly. I do have lots of strategies that help me, and things that I do which help me, but I've not come across a business owner with a multi six or seven figure business who doesn't work really hard. I think there's some that pretend they don't work hard, but I think most of them do work really hard, and they really care about their businesses and they want to succeed and they're very determined, and so they work hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy, especially in the online world, the Instagram world, to get taken in by the kind of overnight successes, the, you know, six, seven figure businesses and the laptop lifestyle that is being presented, when the reality, I'm sure, is, you know, very, very different. And you get in this sort of comparing game. And I know for me, whenever I do that, I start to lose my comfort a bit as well and think, well, why are things not happening quick enough? But when I look to you a lot, because I see that you've got incredible resilience and your output is phenomenal. You know, if you're on the other side of your emails, for instance, you know, the inbox, or everything that you're constantly generating, and you've said like you've pivoted your business several times. But I'm really interested in what you were saying, because there are some things that I relate to around what you were talking about your ADHD, and saying that, you know, you overcommit yourself at times, or you don't, this is me actually, will always say yes to a lot of things and totally underestimate how long something will take me to do. And this is something maybe a lot of people may not know about you, is this recent diagnosis of ADHD. And I know that, having done my research, because I listened to you and I kind of wondered, is this something that I have at times, and other women I've started to talk to as well, because it's particularly often undiagnosed in women because it presents differently, has been my discovery. Could we explore a bit more about what prompted you to get that diagnosis, and what sort of symptoms you noticed and challenges, but also maybe, I guess, it gives you superpowers, I would have thought, as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some benefits, but I think that I would probably be more successful if I didn't deal with some of the downsides. Yeah, there's a guy who's one of the leading world specialists, Ned Halliwell, and he estimates, I think, the majority of entrepreneurs have ADHD, which kind of makes sense. So if you hear him talk about it, he'll generally say most entrepreneurs have it. And I reckon if I was on commission since I talked about it last year, I'd be making a good buck from women who have approached me and said, I heard your story, I resonated with what you were saying, I went and got tested, and I've got it too.
Wow.
But for the uninitiated, it often gets classed as a mental health disorder, which is not something I'm very comfortable with, because I have luckily never experienced depression or anxiety, or certainly not been diagnosed with it. I look at it, and that's not to say that that's not a negative, that's not me being negative about mental health disorders, but it just feels to me very different.
Yeah.
It's a neurodiversity, so it's a difference in the way that your brain works, which presents certain challenges, and they're challenges that we all have in our lives. Like if I say to somebody about ADHD, and oh yeah, well I lose stuff sometimes, or yeah, I get locked out of my emails and lose all my passwords all the time, or oh yeah, I overestimate or underestimate how long things take me, but it's more about the frequency and how much it affects your life. And it's difficult to put into words, but I have felt all of my life just constantly on edge. Like it's like not in a way where it's kind of like it would be depression or anxiety. I don't think how that feels, but just this kind of like a racing mind the whole time.
Yeah.
And being unable to relax, like literally unable to switch off. So when we think about ADHD, you often think about hyperactive boys. And I used to be a teacher, so I taught lots of boys who would be like bouncing off the walls. Actually, in women and girls, it shows up very differently, and it often shows up later. And this hyperactivity is often a mental hyperactivity. So it's a racing mind, being unable to switch off. So it's like a drivenness as well. So it's just this kind of like, my parents aren't how I am. Like they work really hard, but they don't constantly put themselves under pressure to achieve things and then achieve something else and something else. It's just this like inner drivenness that I've always had, which is both a blessing and a curse. And it, you know, not being able to go on holiday or enjoy days off, like just, I have to actually plan my weekends, because I just can't cope with having that unstructured time, and I feel lazy, I feel like I'm not getting things done. So there's a lot of like negativity, and I think a lot of beating yourself up. But the key, so it's hyperactivity, but more of a mental hyperactivity, which means you can't switch off, which often manifests itself in workaholism. So overworking, not getting enough sleep, which obviously can impact on your life in lots of other ways. Impulsiveness, so making impulsive decisions, which is great if you're an entrepreneur, like if you can just decide, like I can decide things like that and act on them like that, which can be great, but also sometimes actually you do need to think about things and consider them. So impulsiveness around money, it's not something that I struggle with so much now, but when I was a child and a teenager, I had no concept of money, no organization in that area, which used to cause me quite a lot of problems when I was younger, but not so much now. And and obviously when you're impulsive, you can get yourself into trouble. You know, when you make decisions, not just work-wise, but relationships and friendships, and so I think they're the kind of key things. So there's this hyperactivity, but it can be mental. There's this impulsiveness. And then the other key thing is they call it executive dysfunction. So so this is often problems with organization. So again, I've always known that I'm good at doing things at the last minute. In fact, sometimes it feels like the only way to get things done. But that's really stressful if you're constantly on the edge all the time and just scraping in and getting things done. It's stressful. And actually, I should have said at the beginning, ADHD is actually a deficit of dopamine, so that kind of feel good. So what it means is you're always chasing that feel good, that kind of hit of excitement and achievement and novelty, which is where the impulsiveness comes in. So the executive dysfunction often manifests itself with problems with organization. And they often talk about hyperfocus. So if you're excited about something and you've got like a new hobby or a new business, or you know, you can literally hyperfocus for hours. And I've always been like that. I can get really absorbed in things and not know that hours and hours have gone past. But But equally, you struggle with organization. So I, again, everybody does this all the time, but everybody does this from time to time, I should say. But, you know, losing passwords, like losing stuff. I think most people with ADHD, I don't open any mail to that piles of it. I can't face it. Any kind of admin tasks. It's the way they describe it is it's like painful to do something that you find boring or routine is actually quite painful. So like doing admin work or anything which requires spreadsheets or whatever. So it can be quite difficult because if you're the kind of person that always forgets, when I was at school, I'd always forget to fill out the forms or forget to ask my mum for something. Or if you're that friend that another friend asks you to do something and you forget because you're just not that interested in whatever it was that they asked you to do, even though you meant to do it, you forget birthdays or you forget important things. Or you might, I can sometimes go like for months, like there might be a friend and I really care about them, but there's something going on for them. And I'm like, oh, I must talk to that person. I must get in touch with them. And then suddenly weeks or months have gone by and I just feel like the worst person in the world. And there's also like a boredom is difficult. So that can kind of manifest problems in friendship, because part of being in a friendship group, I think, is having to toe the line and maybe do things you don't want to do. And if you're the kind of person that never, ever wants to do something you don't want to do, and you're motivated by interest, that, I mean, I've tried to explain it as clearly as I can. They're the kind of key areas. Does that kind of make sense?
Totally makes sense. And gosh, the number of things you've just said there that I personally relate to.
And
in the work that I do, I'm really fascinated with the brain as well. So this is like super like the dopamine thing. I mean, I've had my DNA analysed recently as well, and that's told me an awful lot about things like that and structures and so on. So what sort of strategies do you put in place?
Well, there's things that I've kind of done over the years, which inadvertently, I guess, must have been ways to cope. So actually orientated really suited me, because and you're only really ever working on one thing at a time, where you would be working on multiple articles, but there would be that moment where you just had to get your head down and finish that particular thing. And detail can be a challenge. Like I just hate anything with detail. But obviously when you're a journalist, if you're not checking detail, you can get into trouble and get sued. But if it's just one project, if I've written an article and I need to go through and fact check it, and I need to, you know, check there's no legal problems, no problem at all, because it's just one thing that has to be completed. But managing multiple problems can be multiple projects. It can be a real challenge. And so one thing that I have learned to do, I think being interrupted as well, when your concentration gets interrupted and you're going from task to task, that's hard for everyone, I think. But I think if you're the kind of person that if somebody interrupts you, you can go down a rabbit hole that's like hours long. Procrastination is another thing. So it makes me feel a bit like a prima donna, you know what I mean. But I don't have any meetings until 12 o'clock. So I don't do any, I do all my coaching and consulting and teaching in the afternoon. If someone asks me to meet in the morning, I'm just like, very, very occasionally I'll do it. But I know that if I don't get that block of time to focus on writing or content creation, if I'm constantly going from task to task to task, they call it context switching, then I'll just get nothing done whatsoever. And not only will I not get anything done, I just will feel terrible about myself, because for me, getting things done, you know, that's like your dopamine hit. It's like feeling good.
Absolutely. And I picked that up from you, actually. I heard you talk about this before, and I started to do that, and it helped me so much. You know, do it, the focus stuff. I feel like I'm better in the morning if I can keep focused on that. And then I now schedule like my coaching calls and like podcasts and things like that in the afternoon too. So I thank you for that, because it's really helped me actually as a technique and a strategy.
Yeah, they're starting to talk now, this new book by Ned Halliwell, which I think is called ADHD 2.0, I think, or 4.0. my memory for stuff like that can be really bad, so it could be really wrong. But but they're starting to talk about, because, you know, some people will say, oh, I'm a little bit ADHD or whatever.
Yeah.
So this book tackles the executive dysfunction part, and I think there is some research to show that we are all becoming a little bit more ADHD in that we're being distracted by social media all this context switching or whatever. So actually, I think a lot of things that people who aren't clinically diagnosed as having ADHD, there's a lot of strategies I think that would just be helpful anyway, because I think
helpful with distraction. I think
we all do with, like, we're all like just distracted. One of his books actually is called Driven to Distraction. But we're all distracted and interrupted so many more times than we were in the past. So I think that, they are talking about, it's not like a clinically diagnosed ADHD, but I think it's some kind of like executive dysfunction kind of, basically a version of it, I think, which is more environmentally influenced rather than being a brain difference. But, and it kind of makes sense, isn't it? Because life is so much more full of interruptions than it used to be.
Absolutely. And that, you know, the whole social media thing as well, and the email and all of that can create such overwhelm and actual anxiety that maybe like a lot of this stuff that people do experience, perhaps it's not ADHD, but it is just that overwhelm of distraction, but the strategies can help most people, I guess, in those situations. So can we come back to, you were talking earlier about, obviously you help a lot of like startup businesses and growing businesses to get online and to put themselves out there and to create content, you know, to sort of do this and to engage with people. And putting yourself out there can be really terrifying. I know this because, one, from a personal experience, but two, also because I also coach other business owners to do this, and people want to get on social media and they want to grow their business, but are really quite afraid of doing it. Now, you've been doing this for quite some time, and you're also a woman that has a platform and a voice that must come with its challenges at times as well, because I'm thinking you're really in the public eye a lot with what you're doing, and people must have an opinion on what you say, what you post. What sort of things have you come up against, and how do you cope with this? And if someone's lacking the courage and the confidence to put themselves out there without holding back, what would you say to them to encourage them?
I think the first thing is that the problems are rare. Obviously, as human beings, we tend to focus on the one or two bad comments or the one or two bad things that happen, and the positive outcomes from being visible on social media, certainly for your business, they well outweigh the odd difficult thing that happens. I think one of the things that a lot of people don't do is they don't sit down and think, what are the risks? So if you are going to be posting stuff online, or they get really bogged down in things that are not actually that important and then don't think about the really important things. Yeah. So I find a lot of the women that I work with, and it is mainly women, they're more worried about people who don't actually matter. So they're worried about some ex-colleague from their corporate career, or the mums at the school gate, or someone they're friends with on Facebook who they don't like very much anyway, but they made some little dig or whatever. So I think that sort of stuff, you know, it's annoying if people make comments about what you're doing, or if they don't understand what you're doing, and they might maybe even poke fun. But actually, the really important things are to make sure that you've protected yourself from things that could go wrong. So, you know, making sure that you've got insurance, making sure that you have a crisis strategy, and you know what you're going to do if anything does go wrong. And, you know, thankfully, it's these things are very, very rare. But I feel people often get wrapped up in the real personal stuff and thinking about how it impacts them personally, and then forget to do the really important stuff that's really going to matter. If anything, you know, if anything does happen, having insurance in place and making sure that you've thought about the things that can go wrong. And it's, you've got to put it in perspective. Like, most of the time, it's awful. When you first got online, they're barely going to even comment, engage, never mind, you know, massively troll you or whatever. It doesn't really work like that. I wish I had some kind of magic wand that I could wave and I could say, oh, just do this and it will feel comfortable for you. I guess I've although I'm quite an introverted character, I'm quite quiet, I suppose, but I've always been a bit of a, I guess, a bit of a lovey maybe. So when I was at school, I used to do like theatre and music. And so I've been doing a lot of Instagram reels recently, and in a way that's probably surprised people because of my personality. But that's what I love. I love entertaining and music and dancing, and you know, so that feels really quite comfortable to me. It doesn't mean I don't put stuff out and think, oh god, everyone's going to think I'm an idiot or this is going to bomb or whatever, but I guess that gives me it. Well, it's experience. I've just had more experience of standing in front of people for longer, and that's all it is, I think, is experience. There's two things I think that really women really struggle with. So one is this, like, oh, what will people think? And yeah, people who really don't matter whatsoever, like, who cares what the mums at the school gate think or whatever. But the other one is tech as well. And I find I've actually just recorded a podcast on this, which is going out tomorrow, but is the number of women who will say to me, I can't do this because I can't figure out the tech. And it's like there's going to be some magic tutorial that's going to magically help them understand how to do Instagram reels or how to edit a video or whatever. And it's like everything, you just have to do it. You just have to open the app and play with it and make videos to start up with. Unfortunately, a lot of it is just about experience. Things that I found that will help. So I've done challenges where I think having accountability helps. So maybe working with a coach or being part of a program whereby other people were creating content and you have to too. I think that can help some people. Sometimes people are motivated by competition maybe. So I run quite a lot of competitions for the challenges and programs that I run, but I wish there was something I could say that would just kind of go, oh yes, well, if you do this, it will just make it all okay. But it's like anything. You can't do anything unless you're willing to be a beginner. And I think that's another challenge that I see a lot, is being afraid of being a beginner, because and it's very valid. So often the women that I'm working with may have had a very successful career where they've had a lot of responsibility, or they've maybe had a lot of people looking up to them, and then suddenly maybe they have children and they're not working, or maybe their work's changed from what it was before and they start a business and they don't know anything about Instagram or LinkedIn or whatever it is. And I think being humble enough to be a beginner, and it's such an attribute. And I think when I see people struggling both with the tech and the confidence, often it is if they could just remove the mask and say, okay, I am a beginner, I know nothing about this. But all these emotions and feelings tend to get in the way and everything gets all muddled up. And I feel that if you could just say, look, I'm a beginner and beginners make mistakes. It's really tough. I don't know if there's anything you do with your clients, Jo.
It is, and I've been there as well. So, you know, I'd held like a marketing director position and I had teams of people that, you know, would do this kind of stuff and they did it brilliantly. And I was the sort of, you know, I was orchestrating it. And then suddenly there's me on my own with my own business and thinking, oh my gosh, I used to have all these people that knew this tech stuff. You know, I was the strategic person and I, you know, and so it does feel uncomfortable, I think, when you're starting out. So I think you make a really valid point as well. I think about being kind to yourself and being open, and absolutely things that have helped, and I run them too as part of my community, challenges, because they help you, they push you. They give you, you know, that supportive. I think, you know, when you've got a kind of support network and you know, accountability you mentioned, I think that's huge. But a lot of this, I think with confidence building and getting better, is practice. You know, practice makes permanent rather than perfect. I think, you know, a lot of the time we kind of think about, well, this has to be perfect before we put it out in the world. And there's no such thing as perfection. All we're doing, if we're thinking things have to be perfect, is we're never really going to meet up to it. And therefore, a lot of people then don't get started. And I think the key for me has been consistency with all of this. I build daily habits, be consistent. If you don't want to do it, just try something little. And when it comes to Instagram or something like that, and I know, you know, for me, it's been about I can always delete it if it's like horrendous, you know, there's always that delete button. So yeah, I appreciate what that advice that you've given people there. I wonder if finally I could ask you the question that you've got a mic to the world for 15 minutes and you're sharing your biggest lessons in life and business and tips for success. What would you say?
So I think it would come back to this thing about being humble enough to be a beginner and to be a beginner at any stage of your business. It doesn't matter whether you've been in business 5 years, 15 years, 25 years, there are always going to be things that come along and you're like, I don't know anything about this. And I think it's a real special skill to be able to be humble enough to just almost fall back and let go and say, actually, I don't know how to do this. I need help. It's okay to be a beginner. I don't have to have all of the answers. I think that's probably the key thing for me. I also think, I've just made a podcast about this actually, it's about being real with yourself about excuses. So yeah, I've just made a podcast about excuses, particularly that women make, not for getting on. And I actually said before I said this, like this actually did feel courageous for me to say it, but kids are not an excuse. Like having children and having a family are not an excuse for not growing your business. I think a lot of women do themselves a disservice.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can have it all. You asked me that earlier on. Yeah. I think there's always compromises. But when I'm speaking with women, coaching women, and they're struggling with content, I'll often just say, tell me about what you've done today. And they'll be like, well, I went to Sainsbury's and then I went to the school uniform shop and then I had to run an errand for my mum or pick my husband's dry cleaning up or whatever. And so what time was it when you sat down and you started to work on your business? Oh, well, it was 12 o'clock and then I had to go and get the kids from school and then Joey had his clubs or whatever. And I'm not saying it's easy at all, but I feel that it's easy sometimes to say, oh, it's the kids or it's the tech or it's whatever. And I also feel like if you want it enough, you can make it happen. And if you're procrastinating, if you're not getting things done, I would always say, step back and say, do I really actually want this? Or am I trying to go after something I don't actually want? And because I think that people talk a lot about imposter syndrome and they talk a lot about a lack of confidence and perfectionism. But I feel when you really want something, you just kind of find a way. And I think if you keep trying to do something and it's not working and you are making excuses, you're procrastinating, just taking a step back and saying, am I trying to go after a goal that I don't actually really want because everybody else is doing it or everybody else seems to think it's a good idea? What do I really want? Like, how do I really want to live my life? And maybe having a business isn't what I want. Actually, maybe it would suit me better to be employed or to do something else or be a full-time mum or whatever. But I feel like we're not often honest with ourselves about what's really going on, if that makes sense.
Totally. I love that. And that honesty around it. You get clarity then, I think. And with, there's like a little phrase that I love, with, you know, clarity comes confidence.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. That was amazing to talk to you. So insightful. Brilliant tips. How can people, because you've launched a brand new podcast now. Tell us about that and how people can come and connect with you.
So the new podcast is the Courageous Content Podcast. I'm a big believer, as you can probably gather, in not carrying on with things that aren't servicing you anymore. So I created a podcast which had 450 episodes and just decided that I felt I could do better. It was still doing okay, but I thought I could create better content. And I really actually wanted to tackle some of the things we've talked about today about helping business owners, but women in particular, to find the courage and to maybe uncover why they're not being courageous. So this new podcast, it's a mixture of coaching interviews, of interviews with creators and solo episodes where I'm kind of giving tips on how to create engaging content, how to be more courageous. And it's a bit of a step away from me. It's quite different from what I was doing before. And it's a lot more work actually as well. I do like to make things difficult. But I think it's different to lots of marketing podcasts that are out there now. So if you are looking for something a little bit different, practical, but also to help deal with the messy side of online business and all those horrible emotions that can come up, then the Courageous Content podcast is worth a look. And it's available on all good podcast players. Mm-hmm. And social media wise, Instagram, so at Jan Murray UK. If you've listened to this episode and you've enjoyed it, then do tag myself and Joe in. It's always nice to hear that someone has listened and appreciated.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Jo Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.